Speed Talk on 1360 here on KRWC. Having fun on a Saturday morning, as per usual. Dean and Jason talking racing. We're going to bring in Matt Panier now, who is the announcer of the Tundra Series. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Haven't talked to you in a while. Good to hear from you again.
Fantastic. It'll be fun to see you. You're going to come up for Thunderstruck, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to come up and sit in that wonderful Elko grandstand and take in all the action.
That'll be great. Hey, first off, let's talk about the Tundra Series, because you guys had a fantastic year, and you had some drama at the end. It sure was a good year for Tundra with Dalton Zayer with the championship, right?
Yeah, it was a fantastic season for Tundra this year. We expanded to 8 races, did a little bit more traveling, actually jumped out of the state for the first time, went up to Norway Speedway in Michigan, which is actually about a mile over the Wisconsin-Michigan border, so it's not really that far out of the state of Wisconsin. Dalton had been so close so many years. He was really good the first year, but he missed the first race, so he wasn't really in the title race. In our second year at Dells, he actually had the point lead going into the final night, but had some problems, couldn't get through the field and maintain his point lead. And then last year came up a little short with Nick Panitsky winning our title, so very deserving. Very close for 2 years in a row, and finally third time's a charm for Dalton Zayer. Fantastic race car driver, fantastic team, fantastic young man. Nobody deserves a title more than Dalton Zayer to finally get one this year. It was good to see.
Now, the Tundra Series is a relatively new racing series. It's only been around for a few years, and it basically started out at Dell's Speedway. And talk a little bit about the history of the Tundra Series.
Yeah, we're a little bit different. So a couple of years ago, Dells Raceway Park decided that they just couldn't sustain super late models anymore on a weekly basis. That was back in 2010. There were a lot of guys that just kind of had cars sitting around. They wanted to race, and they wanted to race their super late models. So in the off season of 2010, I was hired as kind of a PR marketing person at Dells under Joe Graziano as a track owner at the time. And we had a few super late model drivers approach him and say, you know, what can we do? We want to race these cars. We understand the cost is too much for you. It's too much for us. So, you know, what kind of a solution can we come up with? So we had a few meetings, and honestly, it kind of started off on a few crazy notes where we were just going to open the gates and let the super late models come in, and they weren't going to have to pay anything, and we weren't going to pay them anything. Well, that wasn't exactly a sustainable program, so... After a little while, we had some good conversations, and we started to figure out ways where we could cut cost out of the program for them, and then they could, in turn, cut cost out of the program for us. And we started what we called the Alive for Five Super Late Model Series as this wonderful experiment of doing business in a new way, and it kind of jumped off the ground there. We started off with just 17 guys. By the end of the year, we were up to 29. So it just kind of grew, and then the next season we did 5 more at Dells, and 2 years ago we jumped down the road a little bit and did 6 different tracks, and this year 8. So it was just kind of this grand little experiment that started off with a way of saying, hey, let's start cutting the cost out of this as much as we can for you drivers, and the drivers will do the same for the promoters, and it's worked out pretty well so far.
With super late models, it's a very expensive sport, obviously, and super late models are the cream of the crop there, I'll tell you. They're very exciting, but drivers like to run at different tracks, but they don't like to travel too far because it does get very expensive when you start traveling and stuff like that. And I think this is a really nice series that you're not traveling that far. You're relatively a short distance away, and you get a lot of Minnesota drivers as well that wander into the series too. And so that's a really big boom and a big plus for the Tundra Series. And and they always say you want to grow and grow and grow, but you don't want to grow this too far. You don't want to go, you know, too far outside the region or anything like that. But we would like to have you grow a little bit to Minnesota if you could. Is there a possibility of that happening sometime in the future?
We've had some conversations on that, to be honest with you. I would love it. I love Elko Speedway. I think it's a fantastic facility. Obviously, you know, as you said, it's tough because you don't want to grow too fast. You don't want to spread your wings too far and end up hurting yourself. You know, this year we did 8 races, and we found out that it was a bit of a challenge for guys. You know, we try to encourage our guys to race weekly, too. So we actually had kind of a hidden bonus point system and told guys, okay, What we want you to do is support local racing, and we want you to go compete in three weekly events somewhere. It doesn't necessarily have to be a track that Tundra is holding an event, but just somewhere that supports weekly super late model racing. So basically, we didn't just have an eight race series. We had 11 races because we had these guys race these three races on the side as well. You know, and money gets tight. We understand that. That's, you know, kind of the whole premise of things. And when we're having drivers drive from Norway to La Crosse to Slinger and stuff like that, you know, we ran the risk of burning them out a little bit. And it's something that we're going to kind of look at in the off season, kind of say, okay, you know, do we need to pull the reins back here a little bit and see what we can do about keeping things less expensive for you guys. So I won't ever rule out a racetrack, but, you know, we got to do what's best for our race car drivers. And, you know, that's another great thing that's part of our series is, you know, we're kind of a club mentality where we like to get the race car drivers and teams involved in the, and see what's best for them. So everybody has a voice, and we definitely listen.
Announcer Matt Panier is joining us here on Speed Talk on 1360. Second in points was a combination of Nick Paninski, of course we know him very well from Sauk Center, Minnesota, and Brad Mueller. Those guys combined on a car to finish second in points. So this is kind of like an owner's championship instead of a driver's championship, right?
That's correct. So basically what we did last year is when we went on the road, you know, like we said, it's tough. These guys have jobs. Some of them just can't travel as far as others can. So we said, okay, you guys can have team drivers. So we don't try to let them get too crazy. Unfortunately, every once in a while, it gets a little weird looking for the fans, so it's tough for us to explain. But basically what it is any driver can sub in a team driver. If they did it before the start of the season this year, there were no penalties. So you'll see Ty Majeski and Mark McAsee were a team. They declared before the start of the year, so there were no penalties. Nick Panitsky, having some engine problems before Slinger, wanted to stay in the points. He had yet to use a substitute driver, so he swapped in Brad Miller, who was going to run that event anyway. And Miller ends up getting the points for Nick Panitsky, but because they declared late, we penalized him 30 points. And the reason why we did that is we actually had last year someone go into the last race of the year and sub in another driver, who was Brad Miller, and Brad jumped that driver up about four spots in the points. Well, we didn't want that to happen again, where you could just kind of poach a teammate at the end of the year and gain a bunch of spots. So that's kind of why we put in that little penalty there to just make sure guys weren't doing that and keeping the system as honest as we possibly could. But didn't end up working out so bad for Nick. He ends up still finishing second in the points with Brad Miller's help.
So you can't bring in Kyle Busch for a race and bring him in for a ringer, eh? Unless you declare
well, you
it.
Could if you declared it at the start of the year. But, you know.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that. He'd want six sets of practice tires. That wouldn't work.
I don't know if he'd have so much fun on our two-tire system. We have every driver use two tires at our races, so. Kyle likes that fresh rubber.
He does. I like that your rookie of the year, Reagan May, she really turned some heads this year.
Yeah, she was really good, and not just with us. She raced at Marshfield a couple of times to, you know, pick up those extra bonus points, and she won a race there. So actually, her race that she won at La Crosse was her second feature win of the year in a super late model. Fantastic race with Adam Royal. Donnie Reavers got up there late, so, you know, a couple of Minnesota drivers on the podium. But, yeah, Reagan was fantastic, and it was her first time ever at La Crosse.
Wow.
She'd never raced there in anything before, and everybody was wondering, you know, what's she doing on this high line? Why is she taking this? All of the local racers were scratching their heads, but she showed them why. It worked out. She's taking the high line on all the restarts and jumping away from Adam Royal. Figured it out pretty well.
That's pretty amazing. Now, one of the other things, you get a chance to see a lot of late model drivers here. Who are some of the up-and-coming young guns or new guns on the scene in late model racing?
Well, we're very fortunate to have quite a few of them. One of them would be Reagan May, who won our Dean Satellite Rookie of the Year. The guy that was pushing her, Mike Litchfield, he finished second. He was only 4 points behind her heading into Slinger, and at times was actually ahead of her in the race to take the title away. But she sort of got back through after an accident and got to the point where she would have had the title, and then Mike had some problems. So it was a pretty interesting battle all day between those two. I'd take a look at Ty Majeski. He became our youngest winner at Dells Raceway Park, just over 20 years of age in 5 days. You'll see him, obviously, at Thunderstruck trying to take that Midwest Tour title. He's a fantastic race car driver and going places very quickly. A couple that you maybe don't hear of, and they're a little bit deeper in our points, but Jordan Ives, he's a 16-year-old driver from Upper Michigan. You guys probably know his new crew chief coming up for Dale Earnhardt Jr. is Greg Ives. That's his uncle. So there's a lot of nice knowledge in that family. Great group of people from Upper Michigan. They're from Gladstone, and Jordan really improved quite a bit this year. And another youngster, a 15-year-old driver that we had, Wyatt Blasche, he was third in our rookie points, ends up finishing 11th. Really just going to a bunch of places and learning this year. Did a great job of staying out of trouble for a 15-year-old and just kind of hanging in and really getting a good feel for a lot of racetracks. Racing full-time at Golden Sands this year in Plover. He did really well there as well. So looking for big things out of those two kids. Like you said, maybe you don't hear a ton about Jordan Ives and Wyatt Blasche, but coming up in the next couple of years, you will.
Of course, we want to think about some of the Wisconsin and Illinois drivers as we have Thunderstruck coming up next weekend at Elko Speedway. In the Big 8 Series, they're actually racing this weekend in Jefferson. It's the state championship tonight and Sunday. It originally was scheduled for Friday, Saturday, but because of the weather, they moved it back to today and Sunday. Ross Kinseth was the champion of the Big 8 Series back in 2009, and now the point leader is Casey Johnson. You keep up with that much? Is Casey much of a driver?
Casey actually won a race with us this year. He's a big-time Jefferson Speedway guy, a two-time champion there, won a lot of features there. But the thing is, they race Big 8s there weekly. So when we go there with the super late models, we're the only super late model show that they'll run. Casey has a super late model. He runs it at Madison and a couple other places, ran really well at the Slugger Nationals with it. Casey, when we went there, he's the class of the field. Knows that racetrack really well. Ended up setting fast time. Got to the lead from 13th. By lap, I think, 14 or 15. There were some cautions in that race that helped him get through pretty quick. Once he got out front, he was not looking back. He's a pretty fantastic driver, not just at Jefferson, not just in a Big 8 car, in a super late model as well. He's, believe it or not, he was our oldest feature winner this year on the Tundra Series at 23 years and 9 months.
Oh, jeez, man. What an old man.
Jeez.
Nobody over the age of 23 won a Tundra race this year. We had Dalton Zeros, 23, Michael Bilderback, who won twice, 23, Reagan May, 20, and Nick Panitsky, 20. So kind of a young gun series for us with the Tundra Series. Casey Johnson's another one of those. Even though he's tickling 24 now, he's still pretty young and he's pretty good. And you're going to want to be listening out for here coming up pretty quick.
And there should be a lot of Big 8 cars at Thunderstruck because Tom Ryan's paying $200 tow money for everyone who comes up. So that's a pretty good deal. Mid-Am Series will be there as well. Jeff Holtz is your point leader. Jeremy Spoonmore second and Lyle Nowak. I think those guys are veterans of the series, aren't they?
Yeah, Spoonmore and Nowak are both former champions. Jeff Holtz is the point leader, and he's really been very good this year. I've seen the Mid-Am Series just a couple of times. Ekkonen and Slinger, and both times Holtz was very, very fast. So not going to be easy for Spoonmore and Lyle Nowak to catch up, but Nowak, a former winner there over at Elko a couple of seasons ago, you know, maybe a chance for him to catch up a little bit.
And then, of course, the ARCA Midwest Tour. Dean, I know we're really looking forward to that.
Yeah, and we are always saying that, you know, when they go to Elko, the one thing about that series is the local guys really put on a show with the touring guys, and I think the local guys are at a big advantage when you come to Elko with the tour.
Yeah, I've always had fun watching those local guys. Minnesota drivers are fantastic. We've noticed that with the Tundra Series over the past couple of years. Understand that Nick Panitsky and Billy Moen, two of our Tundra Travelers, are getting ready to be a part of that Thunderstruck race. So, you know, like I said, I'll be in the stands, and I got two drivers to cheer for in that race right there. Of course, Ty Majeski as well, another one of our Tundra guys, probably be up front. So, I don't know. I'm secretly going to be sitting in the stands hoping for the 1-2-3 sweep there. I think there's a pretty good shot at it.
So it means you have a weekend off from hockey, because I know last night you sounded a little hoarse this morning here working the Dells Ducks games there. That's keeping you busy out throughout the season as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. 3 on the weekend. They just took down the Minnesota Owls last night, 6-1, as the Ducks begin their MNJHL title defense. A game coming up tonight and one tomorrow as well. And they actually get a break until November 21st.
So, that's a big break.
Not too much hockey coming up here, so a good chance for me to have some fun during the last couple of seasons of racing. Coming out to see you guys at Elko there next week, and then National Short Track Championships at Rockford, and follow it up at Fest, at the top of Fest.
Fill up your schedule rather quickly too. And one thing cool I always like about junior hockey is they allow fighting in there, and so that as you get to announce that,
on.
That's got to be one of the most coolest things you get to announce hockey fights, right?
Oh, Dean, you're going to be upset with us. USA Hockey will not allow juniors to fight anymore.
Good. What? No!
No more fighting in USA Hockey sanctioned events. There was actually quite a bit of controversy around that yesterday. The Ducks, they're not afraid to scrap when they can. But now it's a match penalty, and you have to sit out the next game. So if you're going to fight, you got to make it worthwhile.
I am just disappointed.
We're breaking news here on Speed Talk. Hockey news.
I was told this about 5 minutes before puck drop yesterday. I was a little taken back by it.
Oh, jeez.
Well, Matt, we're looking forward to see you next weekend. Thanks a lot for coming on with us, and we'll see you next year as well.
All right, thanks, guys, and we'll see you next weekend. Looking forward to coming out and witnessing the Thunderstruck, and like I said, we got some good Thunder drivers that'll be in the field, and we'll be cheering for them.
Very good. Thanks, Matt. See you later.
All right, take care, guys.
See ya.
Matt Pan, your announcer extraordinaire.
He does all kinds of stuff there. He keeps busy year-round.
He does.
And that's why I like hockey and racing, because when one ends, then the other one starts.
Very good. We have a lot of local stuff to get to right after the short break at Speed Talk on 1360 on KRWC.